Ralph Waldo Emerson says that self-trust is the first secret to success. He also famously says, trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. And Johann Wolfgang von Goethe similarly advises, as soon as you trust yourself, you will know how to live. Golda Meir, a teacher and the fourth prime minister of Israel, says, trust yourself. Create the kind of self that you will be happy to live with all your life. Make the most of yourself by fanning the tiny inner sparks of possibility into flames of achievement. And the ancient Buddhist saying teaches, be ye lamps unto yourselves, be your own confidence. Hold to the truth within yourselves as to the only lamp. Surely the Buddhist didn't mean the only lamp. Or did they? In his book, Blink, anybody read Blink? Have you heard of Blink? By Malcolm Gladwell. He advocates for trusting one's gut. And he explores the idea of thin slicing to demonstrate the accuracy of snap judgments. Thin slicing describes the ability to identify patterns based on a thin slice of experience or a narrow window of experience. And according to Gladwell, there can be as much value in the blink of an eye as in months of rational analysis. Gladwell uses a story of psychologist John Gottman to illustrate. In a study of couples who were staying together long term, Gottman was able to predict with 90% accuracy in less than 15 minutes if they would still be together 15 years later. Now that 15 minutes that it took him to make that determination is a thin slice. When I think about all the times that I misjudged a person or a situation, when trusting my gut failed me, I can't help but have some doubts about the wisdom of these various thinkers. I have made snap judgments about others that have turned out to be unwarranted. Anybody else? I have trusted people who turned out to be untrustworthy. I have made errors on the job. I've said hurtful things to other people. I've betrayed others, I've lost my temper, I've acted with impatience, I've failed to complete projects. I've made poor relationship choices, and trusted my intuition, which at times turned out to be simply about my own self-interest or unconscious bias and prejudice, which I only recognized after the fact. And I tell you all this, not as the confession of a deeply flawed person. There is nothing in this list of mine that sets me apart from most people. Most of us have found ourselves in these and other similar kinds of situations in which we were unreliable in some way, failing to do what we set out to do, or falling short of being the kind of person we hoped to be in that moment. And so a fundamental question that I have been grappling with is, how can any of us trust ourselves when we have insider knowledge that we get it wrong so many times? Surely the Buddhists didn't mean the only lamp, did they? Well, the more I grapple with this question, the more I grappled with it, the more confused I got. But also the more I've come to ask some slightly different questions, related but different questions. So Why is it that so many leading thinkers and sages offer the wisdom to trust yourself and be your own confidence? What is the nature of the trust that they are describing? What are we to trust ourselves to do and to be? And therein, I think, lies some clues. The point of trusting oneself isn't that we will get it right every time. This is where we sometimes get self-trust most wrong. After a series of slip-ups, self-doubt and shame can take over. Human beings can be awfully, awfully hard on themselves. Self-confidence and a sense of self-worth can get eroded. And that can leave people second-guessing themselves and even worrying endlessly about what everyone else thinks of them. Rather than being about getting it right every time, what if trusting oneself has more to do with our ability to bounce back, to be resilient, and to overcome a slip-up or failure? Now just stop for a moment to think about it. None of us is going to get it right every time. Not a single person. So to trust oneself has to be based in something more than a perfect track record. To trust oneself has to do with coming to believe that we will find a way to be okay even when we get it wrong, despite the uncertainties. It has to do with having the courage to learn and to grow and to trust again. Writer and artist Leslie Ralph says, "You don't need absolute certainty to know that you'll find a way to be okay no matter what happens. Just remember to begin from living and breathing the truth that you will find a way to be okay no matter what." She goes on to say, "I have no idea where I'll be working 5 years from now, what our house will look like, what we'll do on the weekends, if I will have lost the baby weight, or if I'll dye my grays. But I do trust myself to make the call when the time is right. I don't know all the whens, wheres, or even hows, but I do know how I want to feel and what I hold nearest to my heart. I'm not letting my fear that I won't be okay, or that I'll choose wrong, or that people will disapprove, suck the life out of living anymore. So go ahead, universe," she says. "Go ahead, surprise me. I'll be okay no matter what." Seems to me that this belief that we can be okay is the very essence of trusting oneself. It is also the essence of trusting the universe, God, the foundational love that guides and sustains our living. To trust in ourselves is to believe that we can and will find a way to be okay no matter what. Tagore, in our responsive reading this morning, describes this sense of being okay. Tagore is an Indian poet. He describes that being okay as being fearless in facing dangers, having the heart to conquer pain, and maintaining one's own strength amid struggles. Now, fortunately, this belief that you can be okay, that you can trust yourself, is something that can be cultivated. Trust in oneself can be developed like a muscle. And even when it's been eroded, it can be regenerated. I think that's pretty good news. Because I've been in that place, and I think, all been in that place. There are two ingredients to building this trust muscle that I want to highlight this morning. And they aren't a shortcut, as you'll quickly see. Those two ingredients, and they aren't the only two, but they're the two that really struck me. They are loving yourself and knowing yourself. They are pillars that undergird self-trust. Love of self is a fundamental religious value. Love of self is a fundamental Unitarian Universalist value. The first and the seventh Unitarian Universalist principles together help to tell this story. The first principle affirms and promotes human worth and dignity, the worth and dignity of every person. Each and every person, including you, including the person sitting next to you, including me, including everyone, matters. Other people matter too, of course, but so does the individual. Not more than anyone else, but as well as anyone else. And the seventh principle affirms and promotes respect for the interdependent web of life. Each person is part of the web of existence. Each and every person, including you and the person sitting next to you and me, belongs. While it's true that none of us is more important than anyone else or any other part of the interdependent web, each of us belongs and is a unique part. When a person doesn't honor their own worth and their own belonging, how can they effectively extend that then to anyone else? How can we trust ourselves if we don't have that value, if we don't believe that of ourselves? Maya Angelou says, "I don't trust people who don't love themselves and tell me I love you." Just think about that for a moment. And then she goes on to say, there is an African saying which is, be careful when a naked person offers you a shirt. The airlines teach us this in a slightly different way. You know where I'm going, right? Right? That familiar saying, should a drop in cabin pressure occur? Right. Put your own mask on first. Loving ourselves is putting our own masks on first. Now, this is one of those things we all know, but we still struggle with it at times. So often our urge is to take care of others before ourselves. We want to go out there. I mean, Unitarian Universalists, we want to go out there and we want to transform the world. We want to transform everyone. We change everything, fix it, make it better. We want to get out there. We have a passion for justice and for kindness. But we need to remember to offer those gifts to ourselves. One of the surest ways to teach a child to love themselves is to practice positive self-regard. Put your own mask on first. Like love of self, knowledge of self builds trust too. Self-knowledge brings us an appreciation for and recognition of strengths, weaknesses, and biases. And there's tremendous power in that knowledge, tremendous power. People who understand their own capabilities set realistic and achievable goals. People who don't have this insight tend to set unrealistically high or unnecessarily low goals. Those who know themselves best also make promises they can keep and resist the urge to overpromise what they can't deliver on. Because when we overpromise and we fail, it presses on our sense that we can't be trusted, that we can't trust ourselves to do what we said we would do, and begins that cycle. Now, I'm so impressed when I read about or hear from other people who get up at like 4:30 or 5 every morning. You know, they get up and they go work out at 4:30 or 5, or they write for a couple hours before they go to work. Well, every once in a while, I think, I should try that. But I know I am not going to sustain that. I might do it one morning, but the next morning, it's just not going to work for me. For one thing, I just don't want to get up that early. But more to the point, the important thing isn't whether I get up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, right? The important thing for me in that is to ensure that I have a regular time to write and to create and to do that in a sustainable way. So I've added time to free write immediately after my daily meditation, which isn't at 4:30 or 5 in the morning either. My point here is that having more insight into what is true of us makes it more possible for us to succeed. And I don't mean success by the world's standards. I mean the success that comes from looking within and finding that lamp the Buddhists were talking about. The more that we can look within and gain insight into ourselves, the more we will build confidence. To know oneself is to discover what leads to our own happiness and our own wholeness. To be able to discern what empowers us as agents of our own lives, and to learn how to be meaningful contributors in the world. To know oneself is to tap into that deep well of the soul. One of my favorite chants to meditate to is Snedham Carr's Take Me In. She sings in that chant, "Take me in, take me in to where I am, and you begin. In the grace of thy heart, in the flow of this crazy, crazy life, I meditate on thy name, burning inside like a warm, warm flame. Take me in to where I am and where you begin." Snedham Carr is invoking the holy. She's invoking the holy within and the holy without. To go inward, to go inward to that deepest place in ourselves, to go inward is to connect more deeply to the self and to God and to others. The Buddhist teaching to be lamps unto yourselves is an encouragement to be selfish or ruggedly individualistic. It speaks to the power of enlightenment and the power of connection, the power to be true to that spark of the divine that is in us and beyond us. Luckily, none of us needs to do this spiritual work all by ourselves. We don't need to do it alone. We don't need to look only to ourselves. One reason we gather in religious community is so that we can encourage each other on our spiritual journeys. Our liberal religion calls us to be lamps unto ourselves and lamps unto each other. So let us be our own confidence and also each other's confidence. Let us learn to trust ourselves, to trust ourselves anew, to be lamps unto ourselves, to be lamps for each other, and by trusting ourselves, to learn to better trust each other. May it be so. Amen. Blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.